ओम ज्ञान चिमिरंधस्य ज्ञानंजन शलाकया चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः। सो कंटिन्यूइंग विथ श्रील प्रभुपाद लीलामृता, दिस इज लॉस एंजलिस, May 18, 1972. Word had spread that Srila Prabhupada wanted GBC secretaries to get out from behind their desks and preach. And four American GBC men, eager to become sannyasis, were waiting when Srila Prabhupada arrived in Los Angeles. Sat Swarupa. Prabhupada said that because we were taking sannyasis in the prime of youth, we had ample opportunity to do much more than he. He said he had taken sannyas at the fag end of life, but that a little is better than nothing. Everyone laughed at the thought that we would do more than Prabhupada. One by one, we went to the Vyasasan, and Prabhupada gave us our three dandas and said, "Now preach, preach, preach." I see there are many new devotees here. Mostly you look like you had been university students. I don't know if that's true. So, your view of ISKCON is a little different, perhaps, than mine, in the sense that so many years have passed since this, and so many things have happened and are happening, that it becomes little, maybe sometimes confusing, as to what is the actual standard. So that is very valuable to be able to read this book, and then we can better understand Prabhupada's intentions. This brings to mind that here it is talking about Prabhupada awarding sannyas to young devotees. Well, I saw a video in 1976 in Mayapur. Srila Prabhupada awarded sannyas to seven persons. And the striking thing is that of those seven, only one to this day has remained a sannyasi. And he also is preaching independently of ISKCON. But the essence is that, as Prabhupada is saying here, although they were GBC and in a position of managerial responsibility, he really wanted them to preach. As it says here, preach, preach, preach. And Prabhupada always said this is a preaching movement. Of course, he himself was a dynamic preacher, but also it is my view that we are all very weak in terms of our qualifications for being Krishna conscious. We are very weak because not only for ourselves, but the present situation, kaler dosha nidhe rajan. This present time is not suitable for becoming fully purified. But as it is said in the Bhagavad Gita by Lord Krishna at the end of the 18th chapter, that one who preaches to the devotees, he is most dear to me. Indeed, he is. No one will ever be more dear, nor was ever one as dear as such a person. Of course, we go out and we preach to those who are not devotees, but actually, generally, they are devotees, because it is explained in Bhagavad Gita that in the world there are two classes of people. Dvo bhuta sargo lokesmin daiva asura eva cha. There's the deva and the asura. Vishnu bhakta smrita daiva asura tadviparyaya means just the opposite. So, for example, Janmashtami is coming up next month, and there will be unlimited number of people coming to worship Lord Krishna. That means they are devotees. Of course, they are not properly situated, and that is where we come in to try and convince them to be properly situated, but still they are devotees, not asuras. Asura means, like Hiranyakashipu, instead of worshipping Krishna, they want to kill Krishna. Literally or just by philosophy, there's no God. Immediately afterward, Prabhupada had us up to in his room. We asked him if there were any special instructions. He said there were two restrictions in sannyas life. One was that when meeting a rich man and seeing his opulent wealth, we must not think, oh, I have given up everything, but I wish I could enjoy these things. And the other restriction was that when we see a beautiful woman, we must not think, I had a beautiful wife, and now this beautiful woman is here. I could enjoy her. In other words, do not have any regrets about having taken sannyas. So in many places, Prabhupada explained that no one should take sannyas unless he is completely detached from desires for wealth and women. Of course, these are the two pillars of material life. Just like Prabhupada explained the meaning of the number one materialist, Hiranyakashipu. Hiranya, he said, means soft bed, and Kashipu, Hiranya means gold, and Kashipu means soft bed. So, wealth and women, the whole world is running on that. So as long as one has still got attachment for these, he should not accept the renounced order of life. But then someone might say, well, Prabhupada awarded sannyas to many young men who were still attracted to wealth and women. So the answer has to be that this was a matter of necessity, that in order to expand the Krishna consciousness movement, there had to be sannyasis. And if there is no qualified person, then you have to give it, he had to give it to the persons who were most nearly qualified, so to speak. Sometime an example was given that suppose in a war, the general or the leading commander is killed. then someone has to take the position. Maybe no one is qualified, but someone has to lead. So in such an emergency situation, may be given to someone who is not really qualified. Jagadish. Prabhupada had all the GBC men come to Los Angeles, where some of them took sannyas, and we discussed reapportioning preaching zones. We had one special meeting with Prabhupada. All the GBC men were sitting there in the room, and Prabhupada looked us all over. He said, "Are you all convinced?" We just sat there. Nobody said anything for about 2 minutes. It was one of the heaviest moments of my life. Prabhupada challenging us, "Are you convinced? Are you sincere?" So generally, of course, in our daily life, we go on, and we're doing so many things, and we're all in positions in the temple and whatever. But here Prabhupada is cutting right to the very core of the matter. There may be so many things. Oh, he's a book distributor. He's a great leader. He's a this, that. But Prabhupada didn't say this once. He said many, many times, "Are you convinced?" And that's what he wanted. He wanted us to become convinced. Convinced, there's a nice verse in Chaitanya Charitamrita, which I had known, but I forget. I was going to relearn it, but then I put it off. Maybe somebody knows it, about what it really means to be convinced. That Shraddha Shabde Vishwas Kori something Sarva Krita Hai. Does anyone know that verse? But anyway. Sudridha. Sarva karma krittohai. The essential meaning of the verse is that real faith or conviction is if I become Krishna conscious, or if I just be Krishna conscious, everything will be accomplished. There's no need for a separate endeavor for this, that I'm going to be Krishna conscious, but I have to something, or I have to something. I have to try and become happy in another way also, or I need to worry about money. No. Real conviction is that if I'm just 100% Krishna conscious, I don't have to think of anything else. Everything will be accomplished by my being Krishna conscious. And that's confirmed in Bhagavad Gita. Ananyas chintyanto mam ye jana prupasate tesham nitya bhyuktanam yoga kshemam vahamyaham. Krishna says that for those who are solely dependent upon Him or fully Krishna conscious, He provides everything and protects everything. So, of course, if I say these things, you maybe think it over. Am I sincere? Am I convinced? But you can just imagine if you're sitting here and Prabhupada is saying to you, "Are you convinced? Are you sincere?" How powerful that experience is. Of course, I was not there, but I can imagine it anyway. As Prabhupada spoke, his GBC disciples listened intently. As far as I am concerned, he said, I am convinced. Of course, that's why, practically speaking, that's why everyone joined ISKCON in Prabhupada's time. Everyone knew Prabhupada was convinced. There was not a shred of doubt or any hesitancy or any other interest. He had no second plan B or something. Okay, I'll be Krishna conscious, but then I have also my plan B, or never any other interest. I once printed a book, small book called Simple Truth, where I wrote in the introduction about Prabhupada, and I pointed out that Prabhupada in 12 years, 66 to 77, he was surrounded by his disciples so that he never had one moment of private time. It's not that he was there and then he told his disciples, well, I'm going somewhere and you don't come with me. I just want to be by myself. Never anything like that. He didn't have one private moment. So everyone saw Prabhupada very clearly. What is Prabhupada or who is Prabhupada? He never watched a movie, or he never talked in a non-Krishna conscious way, or thought in a non-Krishna conscious way, or never showed interest in any way at all, something that had no relation to Krishna consciousness. He was convinced. So, as Prabhupada spoke, his GBC disciples listened intently. As far as I am concerned, he said, I am convinced. Therefore, I am pushing on. It is a fact. I am pushing on because it is fact, not fiction. That much I am personally convinced. Whenever someone says, you believe, I say, no, I do not believe. It is a fact. So you must spread your conviction by your literature, arguments, preaching, facing opposing elements. But are you convinced? If you are not convinced, then it is not good for me. The first thing is enthusiasm. Prabhupada says, the first thing is enthusiasm. Who knows that verse? Upadeshamrita. You know everything, so you don't say this. So. Does anyone else know? Yes, utsaha nishaya dharya tat tat karma pravartanat. Rupa Goswami says there are six things which will foster our Krishna conscious advancement. And the first, which is the necessary first thing, is utsaha, enthusiasm. Of course, that's true in anything. Those who are doing business, they have to be enthusiastic. So the first thing is enthusiastic. The first thing is enthusiasm. Don't be dead. This prophet also said many times, only someone who has life can preach. He was saying that in the Gaudiya Math there were no preachers. One who has life, he can preach. So Prabhupada is saying, don't be dead. You have to work more than me. Anyone who has life, he can preach. So the local president and treasurer of the temple will manage. The GBC can supervise that things are going on. But the first management is that each and every member is chanting 16 rounds and following the regulations. Otherwise, that is our spiritual strength. Now it is in your hands. That was my plan, to give it to the Americans. But you have to be spiritually strong. If superficially you want to be managers, it won't be good. And simply touring is not required. By traveling, you have to do something substantial and increase the society. At the time of Lenin, that's those who don't know, Lenin is a Russian leader, dictator. At the time of Lenin, he had just a few men and he took over the entire country. It is up to you to spread Krishna consciousness. Don't be stagnant. Go and preach. Your duty is to inform them, my dear American brothers, you have so much wealth and pleasure. Use it for Krishna. If not, it will be degradation. Srila Prabhupada met with many ISKCON leaders in Los Angeles and saw the wide array of Krishna conscious activities in his Western world headquarters. He heard a new recording of Krishna bhajans performed with guitars and other Western instruments produced at the devotee's own Golden Avatar studio, and he approved it, saying, "This is better than George Harrison." He visited the art studio where the devotees were painting illustrations for his books, and he made suggestions. This is 1972. So this was just when ISKCON was really expanding more and more. This is just at the very beginning of the book distribution era. In the earlier days, I joined in 1970 in Boston. At that time, our activity was Harinam Sankirtan. We'd go out 6 hours a day or 8 hours a day and chant, and a few devotees who were able to would sell Back to Godhead magazines that no one even carried a big book. There hardly were any big books in the, at that time there was only a small soft purple colored printed by Macmillan Publishing Company, very limited Bhagavad Gita with only a few purports. Ishopanishad, teachings of Lord Chaitanya, and some Bhagavatam chapters. Srila Prabhupada met with many U.S. ISKCON leaders in Los Angeles, and we saw the wide array. Oh, I see. I read that. So, Ananga Manjari. Prabhupada was going around looking at all the different temple offices. In one office, Karandar was showing Prabhupada a new computer. "Prabhupada," he said, "all we have to do is type the words Rupa Goswami and then it will automatically write everything you have ever said or written about Rupa Goswami." Prabhupada had been looking at the computer without showing much interest. But when Karandar said the name Rupa Goswami, Prabhupada raised his eyebrows and said, "Oh, yes, everything can be used in Krishna's service." Prabhupada was not very fond of the products of modern technological advancement. I was reading some devotee who was with Prabhupada. When Prabhupada would use the telephone, he practically never used the telephone, didn't really like to use the telephone except when necessary, and he held it in a very kind of distant kind of way, like it was a very foreign thing for him. But still, as Prabhupada explained and here shows, we have to use everything in Krishna's service. So he had really no interest in the computer itself, but when he understood it could be utilized, then then he was interested. Then we walked out of that office and went to the telex machine. I mean, now nobody even knows what telex is. I hardly even know what telex is. But this is before internet, before fax, even before easy phone conversation. In India, I first came to India in 1972. Now everyone has their mobile phone. Call anywhere. But of course there were no mobile phones. And I was in Calcutta. If you wanted to call Bombay, for example, you had to book the call. You couldn't just call Bombay or any place. You could only call directly Calcutta. And that also, the phones were so poor. I remember when I was making life members, I would go to a businessman's office. He'd go on the phone shouting. I don't want to shout so loud. But unless you shouted, nobody could hear, ha, ha, ji ha, ha, like that. So if you wanted to call another city, you had to book the call, and they would tell you that it'll be available after 6 hours, like that. That's ordinary. They had different categories. The most expensive was 16 times the cost, called the lightning call. You could get it after just like 1 minute. So anyway, here it's talking about a telex machine. But it's a way of using phone lines to type out messages so you could converse over long distances. Something, I don't know. Then we walked out of that office and went to the telex machine. Prabhupada sat before it in the chair, and everyone stood around him while Karandar explained what the machine did. It can write a message all the way to New York, and they can read a message. They can send a message back immediately, Srila Prabhupada. So Karandar typed on the telex machine, Hare Krishna, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, please respond. There was no answer. So he typed it out again, and again there was no answer. So he typed it out again, and this time he typed out, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada is sitting right next to the telex machine. Please respond. All of a sudden, the machine started typing out a reply, and Prabhupada was sitting there watching it. The type read, Dear Srila Prabhupada, please accept our most humble obeisances at your lotus feet. We will be very eager to see your divine grace in 3 days in New York. Srila Prabhupada spoke out, Jai Hari Bol. The message from New York was signed by many devotees, and Prabhupada just smiled and said, This is very nice. But I don't know if it is mentioned here or whether it was at this time, but I have read from a few sources that Prabhupada really didn't like the telex machine because he said, You will just gossip. At this time, distribution of Prabhupada's books by his disciples was taking on a new dimension in America, and Prabhupada heard the latest reports. From the beginning of his preaching in the West, he had stressed printing and distributing his books as the most important method of preaching Krishna consciousness. He said his spiritual master had told him to print and distribute books and that he was following blindly. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had been pleased if a disciple distributed even only a few copies of his magazine. In the beginning years of ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada had also been pleased when his disciples had distributed a few hundred copies of Back to Godhead magazine each month. Gradually, his will for increasing the distribution of transcendental literature had manifested through certain devotees. In Los Angeles in 1968, Tamal Krishna had daily taken a large kirtan party downtown. The party, in addition to chanting and dancing, had circulated amongst the crowd and distributed Back to Godhead magazines, as many as 100 in a single day. When Prabhupada had heard these reports, he had felt encouraged and had asked for the devotees to increase. Prabhupada saw book distribution not only as the best method of preaching, but also as a fair means of income. In India, the brahmacharis in the traditional Gurukul system would beg from door to door, but in the West, such a practice would not be respected. But every gentleman will give a quarter for Back to Godhead, Prabhupada had said. Well, it's a fact that no one can deny that the best preaching is book distribution. Even myself, I was in Boston, not before being a devotee, and I was not really attracted to the devotees or Krishna consciousness. But once I had worked one day, I didn't like working, so I worked usually one day in a week just to get a little money. And after working, I was walking back to my apartment. It was a nice sunny day. I had only 25 cents in my pocket. And there's a kind of train there you could ride near to my house for 25 cents. But I had very little money. I thought I will save my 25 cents and just walk, maybe like a 1.5 kilometer. So I was walking, and then a girl devotee came out from nowhere in front of me and handed me a small pamphlet called Reservoir of Pleasure. There was no big book distribution. There were Back to Godheads. There were a few small books. Maybe one big book. So this was three essays by Prabhupada. One is called Reservoir of Pleasure. Another one is called Who is Crazy? And maybe one more. So she put it in my hand, and on the cover it said 50 cents. So I didn't want the book. So I thought, I have an excuse. I only have 25 cents, and the book is 50 cents. And she had that good technique. She put it in my hand, so I was holding it. So I took out my 25 cents, which is called a quarter, and I showed her, all I have is a quarter. I'm sorry, I cannot take the book. She just took it and started leaving fast. She said, you can give the rest later. So there I was with a little essay by Prabhupada. then I went somewhere and I just started reading it, and I was amazed because I had read some so-called gurus kind of books, a little bit, and they always talk in a mystical way of something which you cannot really understand, something. But here Prabhupada was speaking very, very clearly. 84 lakh species of life. I thought, well, how do they know that? But I don't remember everything. It's still there in one of the small books, Reservoir of Pleasure. Krishna, the Reservoir of Pleasure. But one thing that struck me as being very true, which no one had ever said. Prabhupada said, in this material life there is no happiness. There is absolutely no happiness. There's only the promise of happiness, but no happiness. I was very unhappy at this time, very frustrated. And so this appealed to me. Because like everyone, I was trying to be happy, but I was a failure, not happy. And of course, I went to even 4 years of university, and I watched so many movies, television, I read the books of so many great thinkers. No one had ever said that in this world there's no happiness. No one ever said that. Have you ever heard another person say, even these gurus, they're saying, here's how to be happy. No? Here's the key of how to be happy. But Prabhupada said, forget it. There is no happiness. So it was from that small pamphlet that my interest in Krishna consciousness began. Even as Prabhupada turned more toward India and his projects there, he continued to encourage his disciples, especially in the West, to distribute his books. Please increase your program of distribution to the public, as well as trying to place our books and magazines in the libraries. I am simply interested in the book distribution. So this is the time I first came to, this is May of 1972. I came to India 1 month before that, April of 72. I came to Juhu. That time, ISKCON temples in America mostly were struggling. So I had to collect my own money. I was asked, Prabhupada had gotten the land at Juhu. He had gotten the land in Mayapur. I don't think the land in Vrindavan was yet gotten. Maybe. So he had come with just a few disciples to India, but then he immediately began these huge projects. And where's the men? So he had asked the GBC, I want 50 men, 50 devotees to come to India right away. So I was in Dallas, Texas, and Satsrupa, the author of this book, was the GBC there. So he had like an ishtagost, and he said, we need 2 volunteers to go to India. Prabhupada wants 50 disciples to go to India right away. So I immediately raised my hand, because for me, being a devotee in America was a very difficult thing. So I wanted to come to India. I came here in April of 72. It would be very interesting if there was a video showing what it was like then. All this area was just a field. There was a little temple with a tin roof for the deities, Radharasa Bihari, just like a shack. And then there were six tenanted buildings which the devotees could not use. The ladies were living on the roof of one of the buildings, and the men had no place to stay. They stayed outside. There was a little like a, not a building really, but something where the hired cook cooked, and then there was a covered roof for taking prasad. So you could sleep anywhere. Cook was a hired cook. He was smoking bidis. The only toilet was two outhouses, means holes in the ground, and then there was little wall around it and roof. And the only running water was one tap. That tap of water was surrounded by greenish pool of water for 20 feet in all directions. And when you touched that tap, you got a shock because it was somehow connected somewhat to the electrical lines. So conditions were very, very austere. And prasad was terrible. By good fortune, I got very sick after 2 weeks of being here, and Giriraj Maharaj took compassion and sent me to Calcutta, where there was actually a real building with a real walls and a roof and a place to sleep. So I was there for 7 years. To the devotees in New York, he had written in 1971, "I'm especially pleased to hear that your distribution of books and magazines has increased. So go in this way, increasing more and more. Each time someone reads some solid information about Krishna, his life becomes changed in some way. These literatures are the solid ground upon which our preaching stands. So I want that you should be available to everyone, as many as possible. So please try for this." To the devotees in Australia, he wrote, "The best news is that you are increasing nicely the distribution of my books and literature. This is the best activity to distribute solid information about Krishna. Our preaching stands solid on these books. No other movement has such vast background of authority." And to the devotees of Africa, Prabhupada wrote, "Distribution of books and magazines is our most important activity. Without books, our preaching has no solid basis. Especially the Africans want our books." Srila Prabhupada said that if there were ample books, then everything else in ISKCON would succeed. Practically, our society is built on books. One book is not very impressive. Still, a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. So it is very nice that one book has appeared and that BTG is appearing at least several issues in other languages. By now, try to produce at least 4 or 5 new books per year in several languages, plus regularly BTG every month. Apply yourself fully to this very great responsibility of producing numerous books in foreign languages. Here Prabhupada says they had only printed one book somewhere. But Prabhupada said a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. Prabhupada many times quoted Bengali sayings, little gems of wisdom, not from Shastra necessarily, but things which he thought held some truth in them. So this one, a blind uncle is better than no uncle at all. But sometimes he used another saying, which was just the opposite. sometimes it's better to have nothing than a blind uncle or something. There's another saying. Of course, I don't expect anyone to know this, but it struck me. He said, they would say, let the cowshed be bare. If you have cows that deliver no milk, then it's only a burden and no use. Better let the cowshed be bare. So here in these letters, Prabhupada is saying something that is certainly very true. That he didn't want ISKCON just to be a sentimental movement, simply chanting Hare Krishna, although it is the Yuga Dharma and it is the principal practice, but religion without philosophy is just a sentiment. So, back in 1968, when 10,000 copies of Teachings of Lord Chaitanya had arrived at the temple in New York, Brahmananda Swami had wondered how they would ever distribute so many hardbound books on the lofty philosophy of Lord Chaitanya. But in 1970, with the publication of another book, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, some of the devotees in San Francisco had begun to go door to door, person to person, and sell the books. And not only one or two books, but 20, 30, even 40 a day. The enthusiasm had spread as devotees in other temples had begun to sell increasing numbers of Srila Prabhupada's books. Next, the young men had begun traveling in vans, going out all day, day after day, to discover the greatest ecstasy of distributing Prabhupada's books. Then a competition had started. Keshava's boast that the devotees in San Francisco were the best had drawn challenges from the devotees in Los Angeles, New York, Denver, and Dallas. A Sankirtan fever had begun. And at the center was Srila Prabhupada assuring that unquestionably book distribution had the topmost priority of all his missionary activities. So I will stop there. Any questions or comments? All right, thank you. Hare Krishna.